It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and we are talking about the issue of affordable housing in Pittsburgh, or the lack of it, and recent recommendations made by the city's Affordable Housing Task Force. We had Councilman Daniel Lavelle join us in our first segment, along with the City Planning Director, Ray Gastel. And now we are welcoming a member of the group Homes for All Pittsburgh, Helen Gerhardt. She is someone who has advocated for affordable housing for a long time in this city and has her own sets of questions and concerns representing those of many others in this city. Helen Gerhardt, good to have you with us.
Thanks for having me.
And if you want to join the conversation with a comment or question based on anything you've heard or will hear in our next few minutes, 412-246-2002 is the number to call. Again, 412-246-2002. That's the number to call. Email is esspgh@wesa.fm. On Twitter at esspgh. Again, the number, 412-246-2002. Helen Gerhardt, you've heard of the recommendations that the city has made. What do you like about these recommendations? What are the things that concern you?
We were certainly encouraged, and I'm not speaking for the entire group, but for myself as part of that group. We were encouraged that the task force identified long-term affordability as a critical issue for very low-income members of our communities. And one of the things that they suggested as something to work on is community land trusts. That's where nonprofit organizations hold land in trust to preserve that permanent affordability, and local controls of communities themselves. They are directly involved in the planning of development.
And we've seen this done in other big cities too.
It is, and it has been done very successfully in ways that are very good for the overall stability and prosperity of those communities, and maintain the possibility of long-term residents of staying in their communities.
And can you give us any examples of where we're seeing this done and where it might be working?
There are a number of regions around around the country, and Philadelphia is certainly working on CLT. And I'm just blanking.
I think Detroit is doing it too, aren't they?
They're trying it. I know Detroit is facing its own critical challenges far beyond in so many different realms that it's there's no quick fix for what Detroit is facing.
One of the things that you have talked about, Helen, and that you have been a voice for is the people who are, there are a lot of people in this city and elsewhere in the country who are very afraid, who have a fear of being displaced from their homes. It's the fear that many of us have, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I myself am paying just under 50% of my income. If you look at the overall, there are almost 50,000 households that are facing cost burden. About 25,000 severe cost burden, which is between, is 50% or more of income. So we have already seen a lot of displacement out to rings of poverty around Pittsburgh, Penn Hills, which was designed for people with cars, and many people are being displaced that don't have cars. The public transit system, as we know, has been really cut, so people are having a very difficult time keeping jobs, getting to food, keeping their kids in school. There's all sorts of social costs to the kind of displacement and real consequences for our overall communities. So we really do need very decisive action. And the type of incentive-based inclusionary zoning that's being proposed simply does not have the record of success. We need really aggressive supports for things like community land trusts. And I know Ray Gastel, he addressed the concern that we're an emerging market, that we are recovering. But the data really shows that mandatory inclusionary zoning does not depress housing markets, so that if we require a guaranteed percentage of affordable housing for very low-income people, the overall consequences are going to be better for the community as a whole. So I don't think that fear is actually backed up by the evidence.
We have a lot of people that want to get in on the conversation who are calling in at 412-246-2002. So let's get to these questions and comments. First from Linus in Troy Hill. Hi, Linus. Welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks. Yeah, I want to ask your panel if they're familiar with the model in Utah. From what I understand, it is basically eliminated homelessness there by giving away homes that have been sitting abandoned or unused.
Giving them away.
And I'll take my answer off the air.
Okay. And just so you know, Linus, and everybody else who's listening, it's now down to a panel of one. Helen Gearhart is with us for this segment. And so what about the model in Utah and this idea that it sounds like he said, I think, if I heard him right, that they're giving away abandoned houses?
I am not familiar with that particular program, but I've heard of other similar programs.
Would that work here?
I am going to address what I've read and for about others. So many businesses and business communities and developers are actually supporting this in some cities, this kind of free housing for people who are homeless, because the overall costs of aiding those people, many of whom who have come from really desperate circumstances beyond their control, the overall costs of health care and of incarceration and all the attendant public safety concerns, it ends up being better for the community and cheaper for the community to actually provide such housing. So I would be very interested to hear more about this particular program that you're talking about. But, you know, the social and economic and all the various ways that we all suffer when there aren't the basic structures to support people in their very basic need for a home is something that we can think about as we decide to invest. And overall, looking at hundreds, there are over 500 inclusionary zoning programs around the country, the ones that are successful are the ones that are mandatory, where there has been the real political will to support affordable housing and build acceptance in the community, so that those who have the political soapbox, the mayor, the city council, this affordable housing task force, if they really show that will to support policies which have been proven to have real effect, and the incentive-based programs, there just is not the evidence to show that they produce the type of affordable housing and the level of affordable housing that is a critical need in the city.
412-246-2002. Let's go to Jim in Pittsburgh with a comment. Hi, Jim. You're on with Helen Gearhart.
Hello. I just wanted to make a comment about I've long been interested in finding non-traditional spaces to turn into a residence and some sort of rehab project. And I've found that a lot of these places that I'm interested in purchasing are zoned as some sort of industrial or mixed use, but they're just sitting there, you know, maybe not being used at all. And if you go to a bank and try to get a mortgage for it, because it's zoned industrial or something, you can't get a residential mortgage for it. So then they send you to the business mortgages, and they won't give you a mortgage for it, because if you're not interested in running a business out of it, then they send you back to the residential people. So it's this loop of people, I think, like myself, who sometimes I've been pre-approved for like twice as much as what the building is selling for.
So the question, let me just jump in, Jim. So the question you're asking here is, why isn't it easier for someone who is interested in purchasing an industrial building and rehabbing it for residential units? What kind of problems might you run into, and why are you running into problems getting financing?
Yeah, I think the city needs a program to help out with that. I think they're missing a lot of opportunities on fixing some neighborhoods up.
Okay, Jim, interesting point. And Helen, what about that? Can that be done? And why is someone like Jim running into difficulty in trying to do that?
I don't have the expertise to reply to that specific point. I can speak to the fact that certainly it costs about 40% less to preserve or rehabilitate existing housing rather than build new housing. We definitely need many new units, but there are programs such as affordable rehabs for sale and owner-occupied rehab grants, equity protection services, help with property taxes.
Well, let me jump in. I mean, aren't we seeing this done for, you know, high-end renters? For example, the train station downtown, the Pennsylvanian, I guess it's called. It's still a working train station. Not nearly as many trains going in and out of there, but that's not necessarily affordable for a lot of people to live in a place like that. But can it be done with other? Can other buildings be repurposed to create lower income housing?
Absolutely. And
don't we have a stock of that kind of buildings around here?
We have such an incredible stock of existing housing that we need to invest in to preserve, especially those that are already owner-occupied. Those who are in fixed incomes, those who are very low income that want to remain in place. So they definitely need help in repairing their homes and keeping them up, maintaining. And certainly there are places where housing is being subsidized by the public, where there is not the place made for current residents who would not be able to afford that high-end housing. So one glaring example may well be what you're talking about downtown, but also the transit center in East Liberty. So that is my lifeline. I can't afford a car. And public subsidies went into the housing around the transit center. None of those apartments are affordable. Certainly, they are going to help increase housing costs for all of us that live near that transit center and can't afford to be displaced. So, you know, there's Pharos. They're in looking at the market. There are these companies, these developers that are moving in from out of the city. So Pharos, out of New York, owns most of the housing, the rental housing downtown. And they're asking for very high rents, things that are completely out of the range of most of us who have been long-term residents that are mid to low income.
Bram on Twitter says, we've been waiting on voluntary money from nonprofits forever. Now when we subsidize housing, will affordability still be incentive-based? And I think that's the problem you're speaking to.
Yeah. I mean, if we're looking at the critical needs of longtime Pittsburghers that have worked very hard and that are struggling, why is it that company developers like Pharos or UPMC that owns most of, you know, the real estate in the city, why are they receiving subsidies while we just struggle to meet the basic needs of life?
Let's go to one last call here from Karen from Regent Square, who's been waiting patiently. Hi, Karen. Go ahead with your question. Oh, we lost Karen. Well, she was waiting patiently, but evidently we went on a bit too long. So clearly there are still some concerns. If people have questions or want to, what recourse do people have if they want to get in front of city council or the people that are making these decisions on the recommendations that the city's Affordable Housing Task Force have made? What should they do?
I would say that we need full transparency. We need to see the needs assessment on which they based their recommendations. We need to see the feasibility study. Does that feasibility study suggest that mandatory inclusionary zoning is actually realistic? So I would say definitely do your homework. Visit us at Homes for All Pittsburgh, homesforallpgh.org. And you can call us at 412-518-7387. We're still looking at what we've seen so far. We want to respond in a responsible and thorough way. But with the this is a time-pressured situation. You know, so many of us have experienced serial displacement. You know, we cannot afford for the city not to act in ways that have been proven to actually have effective results for mid to low income people.
Helen Gerhardt, a member of the group Homes for All Pittsburgh, joining us. Helen Gerhardt, good to have you with us.
Thanks very much.
Coming up, we'll talk with a woman who is a volunteer escort for women seeking abortions in Pittsburgh. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.